Thanks to LinkedIn for supporting the Productivity Show. Knowing where to look is the first step to finding the right job. LinkedIn's got 20 million jobs and the people who can help you find them. Find the job meant for you at linkedin.com/jobs. That's linkedin.com/jobs.
Welcome to the Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get important things done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. When people talk about planning, usually they talk about planning your day, planning your week, or even planning your quarter or year. But what about higher level strategic planning? In this episode, we're going to be talking about doing the right things and making sure that what you're doing is actually taking where you are right now to where you want to be through this five-step process, which we call strategic planning, and that we use ourselves. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/270. And now, on with the show. Hey, Brooks. It's good to see you here today. This is Tian. If you've never listened to the Productivity Show, you might be wondering, who is this guy? But if this is your first episode, my name is Tian, and I have my co-host, Brooks Duncan, here. How's it going, Brooks?
I'm excellent. How's everything going with you?
I'm pretty good, actually. I had a really restful weekend. I slept a lot. I did a float tank. I got a massage. It was kind of a me weekend.
Nice. Yesterday, I had a soccer game for my son, and it started absolutely pouring. And I'm like, yep, Vancouver soccer season's back. Standing out in the rain. That's how it's meant to be when you live here.
Well, it is fall season after all, so I'm not surprised. But the fall season here in Austin is still warm and sunny. I'm literally basking in sun right now with 90-degree Fahrenheit weather, so I'm not complaining.
Nope.
But let's talk about strategic planning today. But before we do that, one of the things we always like to do on the Productivity Show is start off by sharing our top three favorite resources as of lately. So I'm going to share three of mine today. And the first one is a book called The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. This is a great business book where you learn from somebody who basically is a self-made man, built a really successful empire, everything burned down, he lost all of his money, and then rebuilt it within the next 5 years. And so he has lots of great lessons for anybody who's an entrepreneur or a business owner. So you can learn from somebody who's done it all, lost it all, and then done it again. And I love the format of the book because it's so short and catchy. So definitely go check out that book, The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. The next one is a supplement. It's called Vital Proteins Matcha Collagen. And I have the travel kit version of this. So whenever I'm traveling, I always want to make sure that I upkeep my protein intake. And one of the easiest ways to do that is by using a protein powder. However, there are a lot of protein powders out there, and this is one of my favorite ones because, one, it is portable, it tastes good, and then also it contains matcha as well, which, as you know, is green tea. And as somebody who is really obsessed about green tea, I was obsessed when I figured out that they have protein powder that is infused with matcha, so you can get a little bit of that caffeine in, it has matcha taste, and you get some extra protein in as well. So if you're somebody who's really focused on workouts and fitness, this is a great protein powder to go check out. And if you need some energy boost in the morning when you're traveling, again, another great way to add that to your life. So the Vital Proteins Matcha Collagen. And the third one is the Rocket Book. I recently received this as a gift. I had one many years ago until I lost it, and I totally forgot about it. But then I got this as a gift just of recent. And it's basically a notebook that is erasable. So you can take notes, take a picture of it, it integrates with Evernote directly, and then wipe the notebook. So you don't have to go through lots of papers, lots of notebooks over time. You just have one notebook and you can just write on it. And then once you're done, just take a quick snap of it and it's in Evernote, and then you can wipe it and you're good to go. So environmentally friendly as well, super easy to use. Highly recommend you check that out as well. So we'll have links to all of that in the show notes as well. So don't worry if you missed anything, just go to theproductivityshow.com/270. Okay. All right. So, Brooks, we're going to be talking about strategic planning today. And if you're listening to this podcast episode, most of you are people who work in corporate America. Most of you are either consultants or freelancers. And we have a small number of people who are also business owners or entrepreneurs. And when it comes to strategic planning, this is usually a term used in either big corporations, right? Or you run like a big company. But we've realized that actually this process of strategic planning applies to not just them, but also to people like you and me who just run small businesses or people who are on their own and just want to achieve their goals more systemically and with a higher success rate. And so whether you run a business, work for a big company, or you're on your own, or just, you know, you have a 9-to-5 job, strategic planning is something that everybody can benefit from. And it's kind of a term that kind of gets thrown around a lot. And if you ask people, what is strategic planning? Most people, I don't think, can actually define it. If you asked me before today's episode, I would probably be doing a poor job as well. I'm curious to hear, Brooks, from your perspective, when you hear the word strategic planning, what usually comes to your mind?
Well, I worked in corporate for quite a long time. So when I think of strategic planning, if you want me to answer that question honestly, I think of getting dragged out of the work that you feel like you should be doing into a stale conference room for 2 days, eating the same sandwiches you get brought in every other meeting, and going through all this stuff that everybody says they're going to do, but everybody knows no one's actually going to do. So when I hear the term strategic planning, that's what immediately comes to my mind. So I want to, if other corporate people, if it's the same thing for you, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So we're going to take a bit of a different approach. So the way we think of it is a more useful process of creating a roadmap from where you are, like right now at this moment, to where it is that you want to be, and actually figuring out how you're going to get there. So it's not about repeating the platitudes that you guys talk about or that you talk about every other strategic planning session. It's actually more useful and more relevant.
I like to think of it as goal setting on steroids. And if you just put a corporate term on there, then that's what you would call strategic planning. That's how I kind of look at it. I'm glad you shared your corporate story there, Brooks, because I'm sure so many people can relate to that. And I've never worked at such a huge company myself. So I'm just vicariously living through your stories and the things that you've shared with me over time. But if it sounds like a waste of time, we want to make sure that this episode is not, right? Everything exactly. That we share at Asian Efficiency is always simple and actionable. So let's just dive into this, right? So when it comes to strategic planning, there's just so many different approaches to this, right? There's just no one way to do this, and there's no one perfect process. Everybody or every business or every department has their own way of doing things. But what we have seen is that there's usually an overlapping areas of like things that people do, right? And we've broken it down into a 5-step process. So we call it vision, research, strategy, execution, and review. And as we're going through today's episode, you'll probably see that you do a lot of these things already. And we're just going to try to highlight some of the things that you already do, but also offer some suggestions of like, hey, maybe consider doing this or doing that, or maybe adding a new process into how you set goals and achieve them. So let's just start off with the first one, and that is vision. Now, vision is a term that gets thrown out a lot too, but I think the simplest way to describe it is really just understanding and getting clarity about where do you want to be? What is your goal? What is your outcome? What does this destination look like? What does it feel like? How can you be specific about this? And the more specific you are about your vision, the better the chances of success, right? So instead of saying, man, I want to be rich, that is a great vision, don't get me wrong, but it's so not specific, right? Like rich can mean so many different things. So the mistake that most people make is when they come up with a vision is that they're super ambiguous. It's not specific whatsoever. So whenever you create your vision, you really want to make sure that you are specific. Brooks, have you ever created a vision for yourself, for your goals and what you want to achieve, and made this mistake?
Yes, I definitely have. And the vision is an important one because I think it's one a lot of people skip or don't think too much about. They start implementing. So they know they want to do something. So they start looking for the tactic and start going. They don't take a step back and think of what it is that they're actually trying to achieve and then filling in the blanks to get there. So for me, when I was mentioning I worked in corporate, so I had a vision that I wanted to work on my own. So I didn't want to work in a corporate job. I wanted to have my own business. And I knew I kind of wanted to work online. That's something I wanted to do. But at the time, it wasn't really a lot more specific than that. So I went down a lot of paths that I could have avoided had I been a lot more specific about what it is that I actually wanted to do.
Yeah, I've made this mistake myself plenty of times. Just as an example, being rich is one of them. Another one is being in amazing shape, right? And that can mean so many different things too. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping you're starting to see that whatever, you know, short-term, long-term objective you have or vision that you have for yourself, you really want to get specific, right? So instead of saying being rich, you would say something like, well, I want to have $100,000 saved up in my savings account, right? That's a really simple thing that's measurable and easy to visualize as well, right? Another thing would be, instead of saying being in amazing shape, I want to be able to look myself in the mirror and have a six pack or something, right? And if you want to dive even further, what that probably would look like is saying to yourself, okay, I want to have a body fat percentage of, you know, if you're a male, it's probably like under 15%. If you're a female, it's probably under like 21, 22%, I believe. And so what you're starting to see when we're talking about visions here is that the more specific you are, the better. But also if you can put numbers around it so that it's quantifiable, it's measurable, that's really important too. And that's oftentimes what I see most people are missing too. And when we started Asian Efficiency, it was kind of the same thing. In the beginning, it was, oh, I just want to, you know, start Asian Efficiency and just, you know, just blog every week. And that's literally how Asian Efficiency got started. It was just literally just, let's just blog every week about productivity and time management and being efficient. There was no real big vision behind it, to be honest. It was just like, I'm committed to blogging every single week and whatever happens, happens. Because it started off as a passion project. It was never meant to be a business. It was literally just me and Aaron at the time sharing ideas. And then over time, it accidentally turned into a business. So Brooks, what are some of your examples of visions that you've had, maybe good or bad?
So the starting a online business was one. And I like what you said about putting the numbers to it, because it definitely makes it a lot easier when you're having these discussions with other people and to kind of clarify your own thinking as well. So I would say that I wanted to leave my corporate job and start an online business. And then when I would talk to my wife about that, of course, her concern is, well, what about your income? And so had I given more thought to exactly how this was going to happen and what success would mean, I think having those conversations, having conversations with other people in the space, and then just my own planning would have made life a lot easier in the further steps as we go down this process. Another vision that I currently have going on, which is a little strange, but it's something that I've really been into lately, is I have this goal to basically go on, and I have a list, a certain number of epic train journeys throughout the world. So I've decided that that's something I want to just as kind of for my own entertainment and make life more interesting, I guess is a better way to put it. I have this list of epic train journeys throughout the world. So I've been starting to go down the path of realizing that goal. And so that's kind of a non-work one, but it's a fun one anyway.
So are we talking about like you getting lost in Siberia, or are we talking about like comfortable rides in, you know, Switzerland, or what are we talking about here?
Yeah, not so much the luxurious ones, although Switzerland is on one of them. But yeah, more like Siberia. So for example, my first step as we'll go through this process, I'll talk about it, is I'm going on the Trans-Siberian Railway very soon, actually. So that's one. So then there's one in Peru, there's one in India. Not luxurious, let's put it that way, but epic anyway, in a different definition of epic than riding in luxury on plush seats, let's put it that way.
Oh man, you're like the opposite of me in that sense, because when I go on that train ride, I need like a pillow. I need like put my feet up. I want to make sure I have like a wipe to clean my shoes for all the dirt that I'm going to be stepping into. like it's going to be funny to see your stories of you going through this, but I'm really excited for you as well. And all the instant noodles you'll be having on the train and all the good stuff.
That's the plan.
So that kind of wraps up that part of vision here. So again, being really specific and putting numbers around it as much as you can would be ideal, right? So even if I take, for example, your situation, Brooks, of going on this train ride, the way you could put numbers around it would be to say, okay, what does it cost? You know, how many days are you going to go for? What are some of the things that need to happen financially or whatever? The more you get specific around that, the easier everything else becomes, right? And if you've ever set goals for yourself and you've noticed that if you don't put numbers around it, everything is just kind of like fluff, right? And we want to avoid that as much as possible. The more concrete we are, specific we are, the higher chances of success. So that really is the big takeaway for vision here. So let's move on to the second part of our five-step process here. And that is research. Now, this is a step that oftentimes gets missed. And I'm the first person to admit that we've done this many, many times. How many times have we ever started a quarter? We didn't do any research. We just said, you know what? We're going to go for this goal and we're just going to hit it. And then 2 weeks in, we go, Tan, I think we kind of overestimated. This is probably not going to work out. And we go, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, we need to change our goal again for this quarter. So we've seen this happen many times. I've seen this in my own life. And what this really constitutes is just, okay, you have a vision, right? Maybe you put numbers around it. Maybe you haven't quite yet. But if you haven't, okay, what are some of the things you need to do in terms of research to figure out how you can accomplish this goal, whether it's for your own, for your team, or for other people? There's always some sort of research process involved, right? So instead of saying, okay, this is what I want to achieve, I'm going to execute right away, especially for those who are high quick start people, I love it. You know, sometimes that's great as well. But again, if you want to increase your odds of success, adding this part of the process, which is research, will increase that likelihood of you actually achieving your goal, right? So a couple of things that we've done in the past is, you know, instead of, you know, diving straight into it, let's just start with Google. Let's just start really simple there, right? Another thing is talking to people who've already accomplished what you want to accomplish, right? So if you want to get in amazing shape, what if you talk to a personal trainer, a friend that you have, and just say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, achieving this goal. Do you think this is possible? Is this realistic in the next 90 days or next year? Like, what's your opinion on this? And it's just when you start talking to different people who've already done what you want to accomplish, you get so much insight. You get so many ideas. You get a lot of like shortcuts of like, hey, you know, consider this or consider that. And that kind of helps you form your plan, which we'll talk about later. But if you don't do this, then you basically start to come up with your own plans and ideas. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but why try to, you know, not, I wouldn't call it waste time, but why, you know, go down a path that is unproven when you can talk to people who've done already what you want to accomplish and just follow something that is already, you know, be considered successful. So that's something I would, you know, want you to really consider.
Yeah. And the nice thing, we're kind of in a great age for this as well, because what you might be thinking when Tan says all that is just, you know, I just don't know anybody who's done the things I want to do. You know, I live in a small town. There aren't these people that I can talk to, but with the internet, it's amazing. Like you there's always ways you can find out what you want to know. Like if there's information you need, we're in a golden age thanks to YouTube. There's so much, whatever you want to do, chances are someone's made a YouTube video telling you exactly how to do it. Or one thing we've done in the past at Agent Efficiency is if we're working on a business problem and we want to ask somebody some questions, there's services out there. One of them we've used in the past called clarity.fm, where you can just pay, and it's not cheap, but the payoff could be totally worth it with the time that it saves you. You can actually talk to an expert who has achieved the thing that you want to achieve. And even just a 15-minute conversation to get you unblocked is totally helpful and totally worth it. So with the internet, even if you don't know people in your personal life that can help you with this stuff, there's always options and people you can talk to.
Yeah, the more people you talk to, the more insights you get. And clarity.fm has been a great resource for us. I literally had a situation where this is a goal that we had for our company. And I said, hey, what do you think of this? And they said, oh, no, that's a terrible idea. Don't do that. And I thought, okay, maybe this is just one person's opinion, right? And I started talking to two or three more people and they all said, no, Tian, I wouldn't do that whatsoever. I was like, oh, okay. If there's like three really smart people that I've paid a lot of money to, and they all said, Tian, this is a terrible idea, maybe there's some truth to that, right? And so I spent more time thinking about it and said, okay, this is probably not a good idea for the reasons that they've said. Let's modify this, right? So literally, I could have, you know, well, I did save our whole company a whole quarter potentially of, you know, thousands of dollars of, you know, expenses, payroll, time, resources by just talking through the problem and challenge and the vision with a few really smart people. And if you're not willing to pay for clarity.fm, like there's so many other ways you can go about this, right? So Google is a great way, resource. Maybe you're part of a community or an online forum somewhere like the Dojo. You can, you know, ask for other people's opinion and thoughts as well. Even just posting on your Facebook wall or on your social media accounts and just asking for people's thoughts or maybe introductions that they might have to people who do know what you want to accomplish. You can go really far with that too. So don't feel like you have to pay for something like this. There's tons of free alternatives as well, right? So for example, when I said to myself, hey, you know what? I really want to get, quote unquote, in the best shape possible. And again, I said to myself, okay, I have to get specific with that. You know, what does that really mean? And to me, that means being able to look myself in the mirror and say, you know, I have a 6-pack ab, and I feel really confident about myself. And then I had to get even more specific and say, okay, what does that actually mean? What, you know, how does that translate into quote unquote numbers? And I basically talked to my brother who, you know, is in amazing shape. And he said, Tian, if you get your body fat under 15%, you'll be able to see abs. And we're like, okay. Then I talked to a couple other friends who've done it before. And then they said, yeah, if you get your body fat percentage down under 15%, you can get that. And I was like, okay, what do I need to do? And they said, well, you need to do this and that, you know, nutrition, workouts, you know, high intensity intervals, like fasting, like there's like so many solutions that came about this, right? And there was not just one way of going about it. Every single person did it differently, right? One person did a lot of fasting, one person started running more, one person did X, Y, and Z, right? So you get all these options.
My most rewarding job ever is probably what I'm doing now. I love helping people with their productivity and interacting with our community. I get a lot of energy out of that. Are you looking for a rewarding job? LinkedIn's got 20 million of them. There are all kinds of open jobs on LinkedIn that you can search for, and there are people there ready and waiting to help you make the change you're looking for. Jobs like software engineer, project manager, associate veterinarian, robotics engineer, HR manager, associate attorney, you name it, they have it. I just did a quick search for jobs around me, and there are some awesome positions and companies right in my area. Don't tell Tan about that. It's more than just a job board, though. There are people on LinkedIn giving great career advice every day, people helping people learn new skills, people making introductions, and of course, people hiring. I've worked in jobs that were fine, but weren't what I really wanted to be doing. If you're in that situation, check out LinkedIn. There are amazing jobs there waiting for you. Find the job meant for you at linkedin.com/jobs. That's linkedin.com/jobs.
And the ideal outcome of the research process is for you to really just figure out, like, what's the proven model here? Or if there's no proven model, what are some options that I can generate that I can then pick from? Like, that's the most ideal thing from this whole research process for you, right? So I was at a crossroads as well a few years ago, or not a few years, many, many years ago, when we started to make a decision around aging efficiency. So instead of being a person passion project that I had with Aaron at that time, we started to make it a business because there was just so much demand for this stuff. And instead of just diving into it right away and just saying, hey, we're just going to, you know, create something and launch something, we started to talk to a lot of different people who've started successful businesses before and said, hey, you know, we're thinking about turning this into a business. What do you think we should do? And that's how we start coming up with all these different models of, you know, should we do coaching, consulting? Should we create an online course? Should we do workshops, seminars? Like, what's the best way to go about this? And long story short, we started to, you know, launch online educational courses. And that's, you know, that came about from talking to lots of people. So don't skip the research process.
Yeah, the research phase, another interesting thing about the research phase, or helpful, I should say, and you kind of touched on it, is how it can generate options. And it reminds me of something I may have even heard on the Productivity Show. I can't remember exactly where I heard this, is that if you're trying to decide between two options, there is always a third option that you haven't thought of yet. And that one could be the right one. So by spending time in the research phase, it allows you to uncover those third options that might not be initially obvious when you're coming up with your vision and then moving on to execution. By spending a bit more time in the research phase, it'll allow you to uncover those. And that's something, when I was in the research phase for my online business, for example, that's something that I did something similar, but it was different for me because I didn't know anybody at the time who was in the doing what I wanted to do. You know, I was working in corporate and all that sort of stuff. So what I did is I reached out to some coaches online, and I didn't do a whole coaching process, but I just did a one-time lightning session just to answer some questions I had. And then the same thing when all of a sudden people were starting to come to me asking about doing consulting and stuff like that, I didn't really know what to do. So again, I knew someone else who did do coaching in that kind of area. So I reached out to them and then did a quick coaching session on that. And that was really, really valuable. And I'm sure I avoided a lot of mistakes that I could have and would have probably otherwise made by doing that. So, you know, there's different ways you can do it. You can, if you have a good network, you can definitely tap that. But if you don't, there's always options if you're willing to invest a little bit of money. But it's, like you said, it's not super necessary.
It kind of reminds me of this quote that I've heard from other people, and I'm going to butcher it, and I'm really good at butchering quotes because my memory is just not that great. But it was something along the lines of, the quality of your life is directly related to the options that you have. Hmm. So the quality of your life is directly related to the options that you have. So if you think about, for example, you know, how you make a living, right? If you only have one option to make money and to make a living, you might be forced to do something that you don't really particularly enjoy doing or that you're not good at, but that's the only option you have, right? So for example, if you didn't graduate high school, you have no certifications, no diploma, no education whatsoever, your options of making a living is probably limited in some ways, right? Versus somebody who, you know, maybe graduated from Harvard, has an MBA, you know, maybe 5 years in corporate America, and then, you know, doesn't have a job all of a sudden, that person probably has more options than the person who didn't have, you know, all the education. And so when you have more options, you can pick and choose, you know, what you want to do. And so it just always reminds me that we want to generate as many options as we can, because that allows us to really pick and choose how we want to do it, what we want to do, and do something that's in alignment of, you know, what's true to us, right? And so I hate to be in a situation where we only have two options and I don't like both options, right? And so there's always, like you said, there's always a third option. If you have a hard time coming up with it on your own, this is where, again, talking to somebody else can help you with that, because they have a completely different perspective, whether it's a mentor that you have or even your significant other, your parents, a close friend of yours. Everybody can offer a perspective. Maybe not advice, but they can offer a perspective. Right. And by them saying, hey, have you considered this? Or what about this? Or what about that? That can help you stimulate new ideas from there. So again, talking to other people, I cannot emphasize enough how important that is as part of your research process. Not aside from just, you know, what does it cost? You know, maybe what kind of skills am I missing? Right. That's another important thing in any sort of research process, is like, okay, if you want to achieve something, what are some of the skills that you are missing right now that you need to maybe build or gather as you're going through this goal process, right? So for example, when we were starting to grow Asian Efficiency, one of the things I realized is my skills when it comes to sales and marketing is not that great. So I started to buy books. I started to, you know, read more about like what does it actually take to become good at sales or good at marketing. And that was one thing I had to focus on for my personal goals in order to help the company goal over time. So these are all things that you just want to consider when it comes to research. So let's move on to the third part of our five-step process here, and that is strategy. So strategy, again, is such a umbrella term for a lot of different things. Brooks, when you hear the word strategy, what's the first thing that usually comes to your mind?
Yeah, for me, strategy is when you take all those options that you had in the research phase and then figure out, okay, what is it that we're actually going to do to help us get to the place that we came up with in our vision? Like the kind of when you start to figure out that the how.
You know, one of the things I really dislike is when I meet people and they say, oh, you know, I help people with strategy, or I'm a strategy consultant. And I'm like, that is such a buzzword. Like, I have no idea what this means. Like, that's not a good intro. Let's redo this. What do you actually do? How do you actually help people? And that's because the word strategy is such a loaded word, but I like your definition, Brooks. And it's just, to me, strategy means what's the plan? Like, what's the actual plan that takes us from where we are right now to where we want to be, right? So we talked about vision, which is the destination where we want to be. We talked about research. So we generate a ton of options. We generate, you know, the numbers situation. We kind of know, you know, what kind of options we have in front of us. And then strategy, to me, is the natural progression where you say, okay, I've done all my research. I know where I want to go, right? I want to get to Rome, but my strategy might be, one option could be, okay, I could take the train to get there. Another strategy could be, I could fly out there. Another strategy could be, I'm going to walk there, right? And it's going to be different for everybody, right? And one of the things that I think is so underrated as part of your research process is really understanding where you are right now, because it helps you define what your strategy is going forward. So to give you an example, if we all make the same goal commitment to say, go to Rome, to the Colosseum, for example, where you are right now makes a big difference what your strategy is going forward, right? Because you, Brooks, are in Vancouver. And let's just say I live in Florence, okay? As a perfect example here. Your strategy to get to Rome, and let's say we set even a time commitment to it, and let's say in the next 30 days, right? Your strategy of walking over there is probably not going to work, right? Because realistically, even if you were a fast walker, you would probably get towards the other side of Canada. Yes. And if you'd be lucky if you got there alive, not get killed by a bear, right? Whereas for me, you know, if I was in Florence, I probably could walk there, right? And that is a more realistic option as well. Or I could also take the train, flying, you know, these are all realistic options. For you, Brooks, just like flying is a good option as well. Taking the boat or something, probably not so much. But if you did, you would have to take the train somewhere, you know, you blah, 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 right? So my point is, the more clarity you have about where you are right now, the more informed you are about what strategy is going to work best for you, right? So even though you have all these options as part of your research process, getting really clear where you are right now changes the decision you make about the plan that you want to kind of like solidify, right? So to simplify that again, in another example, if you want to have $100,000 saved up in your bank account, your strategy is going to be completely different if you have $90,000 in your bank account versus zero, right? Completely different strategy is going to be needed in that case, depending what kind of leverage you have, you know, what your income situation is like, blah, 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 right? So when it comes to strategy, you want to, yes, consider all the options that you have in front of you, but you also have to get super clear about where am I right now? What's my current situation, right? And what are some of the levers that I have? And from there, you can kind of prioritize of, okay, of all the options that I have, ultimately, I want to boil it down to just one, okay? And so what a lot of people talk about when it comes to word, quote unquote, the gap, you know, people talk about gap analysis, people talk about, you know, you have to overcome the gap. And that is true, but I think what's not emphasized enough is saying, hey, where are you right now? Like, because if you get clarity on that, that's when you truly know then what the gap is.
Yeah, I'm glad you recognize that when you live on the West Coast, it takes forever to get anywhere. So that's absolutely true. Yeah, I'm glad you made that point about figuring out where you're starting, because that actually ties in with one thing I did when I going going through the online business example that I've kind of been going through, for me, that is one thing that I did do, is because I wasn't sure. Like I was doing some things, but I didn't really know where I was in as far as having a business that people would actually pay money for. So what I decided to do as a way to really figure out where I was is I just hosted my first paid thing, which was just a phone call. So you could pay, and it was really cheap too, just to see where things were. And then people could pay and then ask questions and get the recording and blah, blah, blah. And that was really helpful, because then I knew, okay, X percent of people would actually be interested in buying something. And then I could use that information to then see if there was an actual viable business here. And I think that not knowing where you're starting from, whatever the situation is, for me, it was online business, but whatever the situation is, that is where a lot of people maybe get off on the wrong foot, because they're trying to execute on things, but they're starting from the wrong place. Like using your Rome example, is they're buying that train ticket from Florence to Rome when they are in Vancouver and haven't made arrangements to get to Florence first. So yeah, that's a great example.
Other things you want to consider as you're putting your plan, right, your strategy together to achieve your goal, is one is, how do you measure success, right? And how do you keep track of where you are right now and the progress that you're making? And it's really about keeping a score. I think that's really important. And that's something that we kind of had to figure out over time as well, the way we do things at Asian Efficiency. And we actually talked about it this morning when we were having one of our meetings about how we saw a big improvement in productivity and also just like team productivity and like accountability when we made it public how this is a daily score that people get access to and that they get to see. And it's being reported to everybody on a daily basis. So for us, for example, this was the number of people in the dojo. Once we kind of introduced that and we made it visual, we made it like something that we repeated every single day, people now knew, okay, like this is where we're right now. You know, this is something we need to pay attention to or change or adjust. But when we put our strategy together for growing the dojo, this is something we didn't come up with. This is something we kind of had to learn over time, even though we saw it happen in our personal lives in different ways. For example, for me, in my personal life, when I was working on my fitness, and I'm still am today in different ways, but one of the things I wanted to measure was like my waist size, right? Because I knew that if I could keep track of my waist size, that's the most accurate way for me to know, like, am I actually making progress or not, right? Because the weight can actually change a lot, or it can stay the same as you're, you know, losing body fat or adding muscle. The weight on the scale can actually stay the same. And this has happened multiple times. And just looking at that could make you feel depressed because you're working so hard and nothing is changing on the scale, but your body's actually changing because fat gets lost, but then muscle gets added. And so even though the weight scale doesn't move or change, its composition is still changing. And the most accurate way from based on my research, again, was based on measuring your waist size, because that's the most accurate way to measure if you're actually losing body fat, right? So that's what I learned from doing that. And part of my strategy of like, you know, losing weights and then getting in better shape was not just only measuring, but also actually keeping track of other things, right? So one of the things I did was once I started experimenting with the keto, quote unquote, diet, I started to measure ketone levels every day. So I take a blood prick every morning and it measures my ketone levels every morning. Same thing with blood sugars. I started to measure my blood sugar every day. So I kind of got an idea of like, okay, this is what's happening in my body. If I'm eating this, I'm keeping track of everything in my fitness pal. So I know exactly what I'm eating. Before I started this whole journey, I did a DEXA scan, which if you don't know, it's kind of like you lay down and this machine just scans your whole body and it can accurately, this is the most accurate thing in the world, see how much like lean muscle you have, how much body fat you have, and so on. And I said, you know, part of my strategy is going to be, I'm going to start with that, right? So I know my base level, where I am right now. And then every single quarter, do a DEXA scan. So I know whatever process or activity I'm doing in between those scans is either working or not working, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the review process here. But that was part of my strategy. My plan is to say, I'm going to measure myself first, know exactly where I am right now, you know, come up with a plan to work out. For me, it was, you know, most challenging was probably sticking to the nutrition, right? And showing up for workouts wasn't really my challenge. It was really just sticking to not eating Sour Patch Kids or eating, you know, delicious cookies that I like, but skipping those and just continue to show up for the workouts with my personal trainer. And just doing those things was the key to, quote unquote, my success. Brooks, is there anything else when it comes to strategy that you've maybe tried, or maybe you had like certain, you know, roadblocks or anything that you do as part of like kind of like planning ahead what your plan is going to be?
Well, one thing I've also done is tried to tie in, and this is similar to building habits, I guess, in a way, in that when I'm kind of figuring out what I'm going to do and how I'm going to get started and move into the next phase, I've kind of looked at things coming up and tied it to some existing event. So using the train example, for example, because of course, being somebody married with children and working a lot and blah, 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 it's, I can't just all of a sudden pick up and take off on these train journeys around the world. So one thing I had told my wife for a long time, you know, we talked about all this, and then I said, she tends to have to go to Asia sometimes for work. So I said, okay, if you're ever going to China or Japan or Korea in the fall, because I wanted to go in the fall for work, I'm going to do this train trip and I'm going to go to Moscow and take the train to China or Korea and Japan and meet up with you. And so it turned out she had a train trip to China. So that is by tying that kind of the thing I wanted to do to some external thing where it would make sense, then that kind of helped me take action. And so by thinking ahead for that and tying this thing in, it's kind of like building a habit where you say, I'm going to make it so that I floss after I get up in the morning, after I go to the gym or whatever, where you're tying, or you go to the gym after you drink your coffee, something like that. You tie habits to things that you're already going to be doing. So it was the same thing with me with strategy, is tying the things I wanted to do to something that was going to be happening anyway. Now, in my case, it all kind of fell apart because my wife's work trip got canceled. So, but I had already, you know, bought the tickets and sent my passport off to the nation's capital to get the visa. So the trip's happening anyway, but at least it worked for the strategy part anyway.
Another thing to consider, and I've kind of alluded to this earlier, but when you have done something before, you can come up with a list of like excuses or roadblocks or anything that could potentially derail your plan. I think that's always a really important part of your strategy process as well, is to figure out, okay, what are all the things that could go wrong here? What are all the things that could, you know, kill our plan? Or what are all the things that, if they don't go to plan, like, is there a plan B or plan C or whatever? And this could be one of them. If your wife's work trip gets canceled, what do you do then? You know, do you continue with your trip, or are you going to cancel or whatever? And sometimes when you first start off, it's really difficult to come up with a list. And this is something I've learned over the years, is that the more experience you have of just doing things and reviewing stuff together, the better you get at just predicting, like, here are all the potential roadblocks or pitfalls that might happen. And some of them are just going to be black swans that you just really cannot account for. But if you really put your thinking hat on and you really think about your strategy and your plan, you will be able to come up with a lot of things that might go wrong, or it might not go according to plan, or that could derail you. And the more you think through about that as well, the better prepared you are, right? And so this plan can be really big, and I don't want to scare you about, you know, creating a big plan like that. But when it comes to just quote unquote strategic planning, that's the one thing I do want to offer to those who do this on a regular basis. And if you're not adding that already, definitely consider adding that, okay? So again, when it comes to strategy, ultimately what you want to get to is having a plan of action. Like, is there a plan for you to execute on this thing, right? Which brings us to the fourth part of our five-step process here, and that is execution, right? So now you have a strategy, you have a plan, now it's time to work it, right? So we want to make sure that not only are we, you know, ideating and creating a vision and like researching and then creating a strategy, but they will also just actually do the work, right? And that is what execution really comes into play here. So like I said earlier, if you know what your roadblocks might be and your potential pitfalls, addressing those, if you can early on, is I think always a good idea. So for example, when we plan a quarter and I see that potential roadblocks or pitfalls might be that certain people don't have the right skills to achieve something, right? If I see that early on, I might say, okay, I need to talk to this person and that person. Maybe we need to do some training together so I can show them how to do it. Or I could pay for a course, or I can send them off to, you know, to a conference or something. And from there, they can then figure out, okay, I need to learn these skills. I need to do this. I need to get better at that. Let's make sure that I can actually do that, right? And if you're managing a team or if you're managing people, like that's one of the first things that I would always look for is, especially if you're delegating a lot of stuff, what are some of the roadblocks, potential, you know, pitfalls that other people might run into, and make it easy for them to address that early on. So again, you will only be able to do this the more you just take this systematic approach in doing stuff. And the more you do this and fail and succeed as well, the better you get at this over time.
Yeah. And it's like you said, like the example you gave of looking ahead to see, you know, the team skills and stuff like that. This is something that we've kind of iterated on and improved over the years. For example, when we're planning out a quarter, or even when we're planning out the execution part of that, sometimes in the past we used to just be like, oh yeah, this is what we're going to do, and this is, and kind of breaking it down and start going. But then we've also over time realized, wait a second, we want to achieve this goal, but so-and-so is not going to be here and they have strong skills in that area. So our chances of achieving that goal, because whatever, Marmel is not going to be here, she has a vacation, or Brooks is not going to be here, or whatever, or there's situations, maybe it's getting up to, maybe we want to do something, but it's coming to the Christmas holidays. By thinking ahead to the things that are coming up, we've really improved the planning. So now we kind of root around those kind of challenges when we're making these execution plans, and it's been a lot better at that. You referenced a meeting we had earlier today, and one of the things we did is kind of go through the things that opportunities for improvement and strengths in AE in general, and I think that's one of the ones. The execution piece is one of the ones that we highlighted as being pretty nailed down now, is because we've iterated over time and figured this stuff out. But it wasn't like it just magically happened. It definitely came by learning.
Yeah, I mean, that is basically 8 years worth of, you know, quote unquote work and tracking and trying stuff and just experimenting. So just because we figured quote unquote it out right now, you know, that's not going to apply to everybody right away. But hopefully we can shortcut the process for you by sharing some of the lessons that we've learned over time. And one of the things that I think is really important is checking in on a regular basis to see if you're on track, right? So this is where keeping a score every single day is so important for us, because we get to see, okay, this is where we are today. This is where we were yesterday. And if we see a trend line changing in the way or a direction that we don't like, we know we need to start making adjustments. And this is why I think sprints are so useful, right? We follow Scrum. And so we have a 2-week sprint, and every time, you know, we want to check in at the end of the sprint and see, okay, are we still on track? You know, is the process, is the activities that we're generating, are they helping us actually get to the goal? And if not, then we need to adjust this in the upcoming sprints. And so checking in on a regular basis is so, so important. Whether, you know, it is a weight loss goal, for example, if you're not checking in like on a daily or weekly basis, how do you know if you're actually losing weight, right? If you have a financial goal, like, are you tracking your numbers consistently? So, you know, like, are you getting closer or are you getting further away? And so having tracking and repeatable processes for checking in is so, so important. So when it comes to, for example, my fitness goal, I weigh myself every single morning, right? So that's one unit of measurement. I also measure my waist size every single morning, so I know exactly where that is going. I keep everything, you know, in my fitness pal for everything that I eat as much as possible. And if there's something that I can't scan the barcode of, you know, I will go out of my way to kind of like estimate roughly in the best way possible how much I just ate, right? And these are all things I'm using for myself to check in on a regular basis. And then the graph, you know, the trend lines of everything, whether it's in Google Sheet or MyFitnessPal, will just take care of itself over time, right? And as long as it's looking like it's going in the right direction, then I know my activities are doing well, and these are the right activities. And if they're not going in the right direction, or they're going in a completely opposite direction, then I know, okay, I need to start adjusting. Maybe I need to eat less, maybe I need to eat more, maybe I need to sleep more, work out less, work out more, and so on, right? So you want to use your regular check-ins to kind of help you get better at your execution and what you do.
I do want to highlight one thing you mentioned, which is those graphs and trend lines, because that's something that just makes an absolutely huge difference. Because when you're tracking something, like of course, tracking is, even tracking versus non-tracking is a massive difference, but having it in a graph and with a trend line makes such a big difference. Because when you're talking about numbers and you kind of look at the number, you don't really have a context. Even if you're reviewing that number every single day, you don't really have a context of what that number actually means in the big picture. Like, maybe you remember what that number was yesterday, so you have a sense whether it's better or worse. But when you have it on a graph, and especially when you have the trend line, so you can see which way it's going, it totally makes those numbers come alive. This is, again, another improvement that we made. When we used to review numbers and stuff like that, we would just talk about the numbers. And that's one improvement that you suggested, is any metric that we're going to be talking about needs to be on a chart and needs to have a trend line when it makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but 90% of the time it does. And that has just made a huge difference, especially with those numbers we review every single day, for really understanding what's happening versus just looking at a number and saying, yep, that's good, or yep, that's okay, or nope, that's not so good. It really helps kind of spur you into action when you can actually see it going.
Yeah, and it also just avoids little freak out moments where maybe a number did go up in the right direction. You go, oh, okay, yeah, that's great, right? And then usually we don't do anything about it. And then sometimes the number goes in the opposite direction, and then we start to freak out. And we're like, oh no, like, we're going off track, this is wrong. And then we start to change our plan, we start to change our execution, we start to change our goals, just because one time this number went into a direction that we didn't like, right? But if you then plotted it out over time, and you saw the trend graph, or you made it visual, and you start to see, oh, that was just a random dip or something, then you don't freak out as much, and you actually can stick to the plan that you created, that you spent maybe days or weeks working on, right? And don't undervalue that either, right? But if you see a trend line and you go, oh man, like, yeah, 2 days is not that bad, but if it goes on for like a week or two or three, then you go, oh, okay, yeah, this is not going in the right direction. Like, this is something we definitely need to change, right? So everybody's, time frame is a little different, obviously, but you want to give everything a little bit of time before you start deciding, to change your strategy and potentially your execution as well, right? And to give you another example, when we launched Asian Efficiency, one of the first courses we ever launched was a complete bomb. Like, we launched it, and it didn't succeed whatsoever. It was just a lot of crickets. And we said, okay, we thought we executed everything right and yada, yada, yada. But it wasn't until we start reviewing, which we'll get to next, when we realized, oh man, yes, we did quote unquote everything right, but we actually followed the wrong plan. And so that brings me up to the fifth and final part of our process here, and that is reviewing. So once you've created your vision, you've done your research, you created a strategy, you created a plan, and you started to execute it, by the time you're done, or even if you didn't achieve what you wanted to achieve in the time frame that you set for yourself, you always want to review what you just did, right? So on a high level, we want to ask ourselves, okay, did the plan that we execute on, did it come to fruition? Did we actually succeed, or did we achieve it, right? If not, why? And start digging into it, right? And we want to basically start really evaluating, did we have the right vision? Did we have the right plan? Did the research process play out as it should be? Did we execute in the best way possible? And if there's something off there, now use this time to kind of like uncover what are some of the things that we could have done better? What are some of the things that didn't go so well? What could we do better next time? And if you find yourself failing at accomplishing your goals or just achieving what you set out to do, chances are you're probably not reviewing enough. And it can kind of feel like a wasteful time to say, oh, you know, I need to set aside a day to just look at something that I didn't do really well, or I didn't achieve my goal. So what's the whole point of, you know, looking at something that's so negative? You know, it's not going to make me any happier, you know, and trust me, I've been there. But this is actually the biggest opportunity for growth going forward. Because if you tend to make the same mistakes over and over and over again, it's probably because you're just not reviewing enough.
Yeah. And the three questions that you want to ask yourself when you're doing these reviews, the what went well, what didn't go well, what could be done better next time. These are so, so useful. Like we just have gone through a process. We're about to have a meeting where we go through this process, and we all as a team asked ourselves these questions. That was part of the framework for the meeting. And it's funny because if you were to ask me, oh, how did X go? I'd have an opinion. I'd be like, oh, it went blah, blah, blah. You know, either good, bad, whatever. You know, you have that opinion of how you think things were. But then once you're kind of forced or you make the decision to sit down and answer those questions, what went well, what didn't go well, what could be done better next time, it's interesting what can be different versus what your initial opinion is when you really start thinking about those things. And you either maybe you feel it was negative, but then when you start going through the what went well, all of a sudden you realize, hey, it's actually way better than I thought. Or maybe it's the opposite way. You think positively, but then as you go through opportunities for improvement, you realize, oh, wait, there is a lot of things I really should have done differently. So those questions are so, so powerful at getting down to what actually is the case versus what your opinion of is.
As another example of this, I do a DEXA scan every quarter to kind of check in with myself and see, okay, or the workouts that I'm doing, are they, you know, helping me achieve my body composition that I want? Is the foods that I'm eating, is that good or bad? Or is it helping me essentially get to my goal? Right? And I'm using the DEXA scan every quarter as a way to keep myself accountable, but also to review of all the, you know, things that I've done in the past quarter and to see if they actually worked or not. Right. So I remember a few quarters ago, I went for my DEXA scan. They have one here at the UT. And I got my results back. And this was, you know, again, 3 months worth of quote unquote work. And long story short, it basically showed that I lost like a few pounds of body fat, but my lean muscle mass stayed exactly the same. And I was really surprised because one, I started to work out more instead of, you know, twice a week. I went to 4 times a week. And then also I started to eat more foods. I went from 2000 calories a day to 2400 calories a day. And I thought, man, I'm eating 400 calories a day, more food. I'm working out more. I'm thinking, man, I'm putting all this muscle on. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling super manly. I'm like, okay, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait for my results. And then I get my results back and it shows, well, you did lose some body fat, but your lean muscle mass is actually the same. And I go, what? Like, I'm working out more. Like, I'm doing all the right things, right? I'm like, you know, lifting more. I'm eating more. Like, what's wrong? And then I started to review this with my personal trainer and then some other people as well. And they all said, okay, yeah, you're doing all the right things, but the only thing that's missing is you just need to eat more food, Tan. You just need to eat more. And I said, okay, that doesn't sound so bad. Then I can eat more. I love eating. And they said, well, you got to eat the right foods too. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. You mean I can't just eat more ice cream? And they're like, no, you got to eat healthy foods on top of that. I'm like, okay. So I started to eat like 300 more calories, right? So the next quarter in, I did my DEXA again. And lo and behold, I put on some little bit more body fat. Everything else was the same, right? In terms of like workouts, number of workouts, intensity, and all that stuff. It was all the same. The only thing I changed was literally just eating 300 more calories a day. And on the DEXA scan, it showed like I put on a few more pounds of body fat, but also I put on a significant amount of muscle mass. And that's when I knew, okay, like thanks to the review process of the last time, I knew like, okay, I need to eat more. I did that, and now I'm starting to trend in the right direction, which is putting on more lean muscle mass, right? And that was only because I knew to do that because, you know, my past quote-unquote failure, reviewing the process, talking to different people, repeating this whole cycle again, right? So I could have not have had that lesson and adjustment until I reviewed everything that I did this past quarter. Right. So this is something that's so important for you to realize, is that you want to use this review process to extrapolate all the lessons from what went well, what didn't go so well, what could be done better next time, to then use that into your next planning session, right? Your next vision, your next research process, right? And the number 300 calories, you know, didn't come out of thin air. It was because I, you know, wanted to put on more muscle, right? That was my vision. I did some research, and pretty much from talking to people and researching online, everybody said, you know, put on roughly 300 more calories in and you'll probably be off to the races. I said, okay, right? And then this is my strategy. Okay, what do I need to eat now? Well, let's add some so-and-so stuff, right? And make sure that's roughly 300 calories. And then execute on it. Same plan, essentially, right? Of like working out four times a week, blah, 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 blah. And just reviewing it again with my DEXA scan. So I'm hoping you're starting to see how this is all coming together and how I'm talking about how this is really just goal setting on steroids.
Another good thing about review is it'll help you decide whether the vision that you had actually makes sense or not. Because what you might find is that, okay, this vision, yeah, now that I've been through one cycle of it, that whole goal and vision for the strategic plan, it isn't going to make sense. We've got to do something else. Like using the example of my train journey, for example, you know, I think I will love it. I've taken the train before a lot and I really like it. I've taken overnight trains before. I really like it. However, I've never taken a 6-day train ride before in 3 foreign countries. So maybe I will hate it. So who knows? So when I finish this one, I will go back and I will, the usual thing, what went well, what didn't go well, what can be done better next time? Am I waking up in an ice bath somewhere without a kidney? You know, all these things to figure out. And maybe that this whole idea I have of taking epic train trips around the world, maybe it will be out the window after this upcoming trip. So yeah, that and extrapolating to other areas, that's something you really want to do, is remember to figure out if what you thought was going to make sense as a goal and a vision actually makes sense or not. And review is how you know if that's the case.
I think you brought up an excellent point, which is this process can change your vision going forward, right? It can change the goal you set for your next quarter or your next year. And I think that's so important that you're, one, open to doing that, right? And two, it really starts with the review process. You don't change your goal just because you want to. You change it because whatever activities you've tried in the past just didn't work to get you closer to your goal. And the review process allows you to figure that out. And I think the reason we've done a good job of like executing and just getting good at execution is because how many times have we done a retrospective or a review of like how the past sprint went? And at this point, we've done, you know, probably hundreds of sprints, not hundreds, but like a ton of sprints at this point, where we literally just reviewed, okay, what went well this sprint, what didn't go so well, how can we do it better next time? And just from iterating through that feedback, we just got really good at executing now, where we can say, okay, if we want to, you know, achieve this goal or this outcome, the execution part is actually the easy part. It's usually nailing down the research and strategy that is the hardest part, which I think is true for most people. If you find yourself that, you know, in a situation where your execution is not the greatest part, you get better at it by just getting better at the review process and doing that consistently, because that's where all the insight is. That's where all the lessons are. And so even just, you know, addressing the faults or the shortcomings, if you just do that consistently over time and not even make the process even better, but just address those things, you just get naturally better over time by doing that, right? And this just starts, again, with the review process. So the more lessons you can extrapolate from everything you've done, the better you get over time. So don't undervalue this process, even if it feels like a waste of time, which I can definitely can't relate to. So to summarize this episode today, again, we talked about the 5-step process when it comes to strategic planning. So we talked about your vision. We talked about research. We talked about strategy, right? Creating the plan, execution, and then review, right? So make sure to do that. And whatever you have going on right now, whether it's, you know, you follow a particular system. You have your own system for accomplishing goals. Just walk through that system you have right now and see what can you add to that, right? What can you implement based on today's podcast episode? Even if it's just one thing, that can make a huge difference in your life. So if you need to, I would highly recommend you re-listen to this episode again because there's so much depth to this. So feel free to do that as well, okay? So thank you, Brooks, for being on today and sharing your amazing, entertaining stories as always. And I look forward to seeing what all the people are doing with all this information that we shared today. At Asian Efficiency, we believe that you shouldn't have to sacrifice your personal life to get things done. You should be able to get everything done in the time you have. That's why we've built a productivity quiz to help you maximize the time you have, increase your energy, and get you more focused. We've helped tens of thousands of people increase their productivity, and within 2 minutes of taking the productivity quiz, we'll show you exactly what you need to do next to increase your productivity. To take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Don't let your never-ending to-do list drag you down, and stop sacrificing your health and family to get things done. Take the quiz today. You'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. You can also find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/270. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or star in Overcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.